This is Paul Lam, and you're listening to the Path Hunters Podcast, a podcast dedicated to helping you unleash the beast from within so you can fearlessly pursue your own path and passion. Join me on this weekly journey filled with inspiring stories and actionable content. Become a Path Hunter today.
Gentlemen, Path Hunters, I have an amazing guest here today. Was introduced to me by Luke, and I'm excited to have him on here today and just chat about his journey and everything like that. Today I have Nick Pierce in the house here. How's it going, Nick?
Oh, I'm fantastic. Paul, very nice to be here. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm sipping on a tea, and like I'm tripping out because it tastes like chocolate, but it's tea, and it's like David's tea. Do you guys have a David's tea where you're at? Like it's
No, I'm in San Antonio, Texas, and so I'm not much of a hot tea drinker here. It stays a little too warm here, but I do enjoy my coffee, which is what I'm having today.
Yeah. So I'm in like Toronto, Canada, and we have a place where they sell like all sorts of rays of teas and stuff like that, and it's just, I'm tripping out because I just can't believe how good this tastes, but it's tea and it's healthy, and it's weird, and mm-hmm. I can't believe that's a thing. But anyways, weather must be awesome over where you're at right now. We're getting a little chilly over here. Winter's coming our way, and I hate that. But enough about that. We're going to dive into your story here today. For those who don't know who you are or anything like that, Nick, I just want to give you the floor a little bit and just chat about your, you know, just what you do, a little bit about you, and then we can dive into all the juicy stuff and the whole journey aspect of it. So I'm excited for that.
Well, thank you very much. For those who don't know me, my name is Nick, and I'm the owner operator, well, co-owner, because my wife shares half of this, of Endless Inspirations, and we sell craft items such as stencils and specialty paper. Really started doing that in 2014, and I'd love to share more of that story with you. So I've been doing this for 4 years now. Started out doing this on eBay and then moved over to Amazon, which was the best move I could have possibly made. That started my success journey to where we are now. And even still, we're still growing and still going, and we look forward to seeing what that's all about. So look forward to sharing more about that with you guys.
I love that, and I'm excited to dive into this part of the story, but I wanted to, so you started in 2014. I kind of want to dial back a little bit and what mm-hmm. made you go into this business, what were you doing before, and what was like the turning point of all that?
Well, actually, the whole thing started in 2013 under a different brand name, and I'll share a little bit about that. I started doing this in 2013. I was living in Reno, Nevada at the time with my now ex-wife, so kind of share a little bit more about that. Mm-hmm. But she'd listed some craft items on this place I'd never heard of before called Etsy. Mm. Which I'm sure, you know, some people out there are familiar with. So I do cross-stitch. It's one of the things I enjoy doing. I've been doing it for many years, and I had this software that allowed me to design patterns. So I just started designing patterns and putting them out on Etsy. The thing was, though, I was designing sports logos, which is kind of a trademark infringement. So I got shut down on that and decided to look for a different path that might be a little bit more more in line with what I was looking for. So I started rebranded to Endless Inspirations and started selling this specialty paper that no one was selling on Amazon. And it's kind of funny, when I first listed this on Amazon, it took me 3 months to actually finally pull the trigger because I was scared of the $39.99 US shipping. I was working full time in a casino industry there, and money was a little scarce for us. You know, it's that scarcity abundance mindset you have to have, right?
Yeah.
And so finally, I just said, "Well, we have a free month. What am I doing? What am I waiting for? If I'm going to wait, then why am I even thinking about doing it at all?" So I pulled the trigger. And that month, I sold about $250 worth of product, and that was it. I was hooked, and kept going that way. And we started selling stencils, And yeah, and then 2015 was a big pivot for us.
I love these points because, you know, like, and like, I really want to dive in and elaborate a little bit more because, like, you kind of just glossed over a little bit because, like, I know that it's a lot harder when you're in the trenches than what you make it really sound, Nick, is because for sure I know. Like, for whatever reason, the moment you make money online, you're really hooked. Like, recently, you basically just took the trigger, you took a bet on yourself, and you I talk a lot about this in my podcast. We're about scarcity mentality and abundance mindset, right? And for whatever reason, you react because you're about to, like, run out of money, or you're just kind of operating and just reacting instead of kind of making choices and thinking of from an abundance mentality. So I'm curious to get your thoughts on when you're in the scarcity mindset, you acted in this month, and then afterwards you started seeing more coming in. When was the pivotal point of, like, abundance? Like, yeah, okay, this is enough for us to live now. And because obviously it sounds like you're obviously doing well. It's been, like, well over 4 or 5 years now, right? So there's obviously you've grown to a certain level, but I'm at the very beginning stage. And it's funny because I need to ask you this because I'm in the very beginning stage of my FBA business, selling on Amazon, but totally different business model. But I wanted to get your thoughts on, like, the whole process of when you went from, like, the scarcity mentality over to, like, okay, I can survive off this now. How long did that take for you? And what did you do in that whole entire time frame trying to hang in there?
Well, you have to put down a number, I think. And it's just, what can you live on? You know, what do you need to live on? Where's that break even? Mm-hmm. You know, for me, it was a certain number, and it may be a different number for those people out there. And of course, you have to think about the operating costs too. You know, when you're looking at working, having that 9 to 5 or whatever whatever those numbers may mean to you, then you have to think, you know, you're thinking about the gas that you have to put in the car and the food that you might have to eat. Those things kind of go away, but there's initial costs that also have to come into play. One of the things that really helped me understand that a lot better was Profit First. It's a book by Mike, and I'm going to butcher the last name. It's Michalowicz, I believe it is. And when I read that in 2015, it really helped me understand how to make that number better for myself so that I knew when to leave my job.
Okay.
And that was what worked for me.
Perfect. So the book was called Profit First, Nick?
Yes, it is.
Okay, perfect. So I'm going to add that in show notes. I can look that up later. I love that. I love that. And so afterwards, like, when you moved over to Amazon, so let me reframe this. Let me try to recollect this. So you went on Etsy first, and then you had, like, copyright infringements and such like that. And then afterwards you hopped over to eBay and then Amazon, or was it just Amazon straight through? Or
no, I was doing eBay as well. And, cause it was an easy, you know, easy path. I'll use the term waters, least path of resistance. That's what water does. It finds the least path of resistance. So I always think that, you know, how can I be water in this instance? So that was the least path of resistance because it was no upfront cost. You know, it's just pay as you go and when you sell things. But I actually repivoted my business entirely. I don't hardly sell any cross-stitch patterns at all anymore. What we do, you know, I do have some available on sale for, you know, on my website, but that's a digital download. I don't do anything that would harm my business anymore. And that's, you know, it's not about the money. It's about the impact. When you think of that, then you're thinking about how can you be in abundance towards people?
Yeah.
That's when you start really seeing the abundance in your life. And that's really where it was for me too. That mindset was like, okay, how do I really help live up to my brand name, which is Endless Inspirations? How do I be an inspiration? And for me, it was being in the crafting world is where we're at. Now, something I did share that I kind of glanced over was that in 2015 was probably the most pivotal moment in my business journey. My wife at the time then decided that she no longer wanted to be my wife. Took a big chunk of, well, she cleared out the house, including all the stuff that we were using for the stencils at that time. And by the time it was all said and done, all I was left was with was the paper that we were selling. And I could have easily thrown in the towel then. I really could have. You know, I could have said, okay, this is just not the journey I need to be on anymore. I could just live, you know, just work my 9 to 5. But I decided to stick it out and gut it out. And it was probably the best thing I could have done, because that was actually the truly pivotal moment for me. Because if you don't give up on yourself, then good things will happen for you.
I love that. You know, that in itself has a lot of value and weight to it. You know, I'm curious, what ran through your mind in that period of time? If you can just kind of elaborate a little bit more in 2015, because like, I'm sure many people have gone through this or are going through it right now. Like me, myself, I am personally going through it right now, where it's like, I'm not gonna lie, like, I think it was like, what day is it today? Today's like Friday when we're recording this. So like, I had a massive breakdown on the Monday. Okay, massive breakdown on the Monday. And only because, like, you know, I've been at this for 18 months, been really focusing really hard and been really, really, like, I left my corporate 9-to-5 job knowing after, similar to you, but mine was a breakup that was after an abortion. This is a little bit my story. After an abortion, we tried to mend this relationship we had together, and it wasn't working out. We just really hated each other, and then we kind of just ended it off. And I remember it ended off on a Friday. This was like probably 2.5 years ago, roughly 3 years. And it ended up on a Friday, but I had to go into my corporate job on a Saturday selling insurance to people, whoever pick up the phone, and really be happy, right? And it's something I couldn't do. I had to fake it. And it felt like I felt very inauthentic. And it was that moment. It was almost a light bulb that kind of came on. Like, these guys have my life in their hands, and I really need to escape. I really need to do something. And I just randomly didn't even have a plan or anything like that. Quit my job, sold everything, and went off to Thailand to kind of digress, or else things would have been messy. And from that point on, I've been on a journey of like this high and low, learning so much about like online businesses, and then finally just starting up my FBA business. And now it's like it's at the very beginning stage, where basically where you were at 2015, where basically you basically have to start from scratch all over again. I'm curious to get your thoughts on what kept you going in that time frame, because like everybody has their own like systems and triggers and everything like that, but I want to know what yours were.
Well, okay, so I was I'm currently 52 years old. Okay, I was 49 years old, and the whole impact was just hard on me, of course, because, you know, the first initial shock, you come home to an empty house, except for the few belongings that she left back, you know, left for me. And just a wonderful text message telling me that she no longer wanted to be married to me.
What's up with the text, eh? Like, it's always the text. I got the same one, too.
Yeah, it's like, really? Okay. But anyway, I wish her well. I really do. But what really kept me going, Paul, during that time frame? First of all, because of the economic impact, I wound up having to move in with my mom at 49 years old. Okay. It's very humbling. Okay. Very humbling.
Tell me about it.
Okay. However, it was a great thing, because my mom and I kind of been a little estranged. So it allowed our relationship to bloom. But for me, what really kept me going were two things. One, I just don't know how to give up on something. I just don't. It's not something that I do. Determination is everything.
Yeah, I agree.
And so I just didn't give up. I just didn't want to give up. And the second thing is, and I don't know where your audience is on this, but for me, it was about my faith. You know, I'm a big believer in Christ. Mm-hmm. And if I, you know, that centering and just having that alone really helped me to keep going.
Yeah.
You know, and it, you know, that's also, I think, where I really developed that abundance mindset, because, you know, it even says it in the Bible, you know, he wants you to have abundance.
Yeah.
So that to me is what really kept me, you know, strong and keep going. I had a good center of people around me as well. In fact, because of that centering, that's how I'm remarried. It was someone that I've known for many years. So She was there and really helped helped me understand what I was going to go through and just be there.
This is great. I love this episode. Like, I love this is juicy already, Nick. I'm loving it right now. I'm just, I can hear it from you. I can really hear it from you because, you know, you really have this feeling of whatever, you know, people can label whatever it is, you know, faith, God, universe, whatever it is. There's so many names for it, right? But You're right. Like, I feel like this, you almost have this inclination inside your body, inside your mind, that you don't want to give up. And it's something that even though I had these breakdowns, and like, I'm sure you obviously, like, you're human, you have breakdowns as well too, but there always comes to a full circle back to like reminding you, like, you know, there's a reason why you're on this journey. You can't pinpoint what it is that's pushing you in this direction, but it's faith. Faith's a great word for it. And something that I've recently learned, right? Bro, just like, you know, faith is the only thing that keeps me going. And We're very similar in this sense. And what's great about you, Nick, is that I didn't even hear you bring up the word of like using your age was an excuse for it, right?
No.
It's not that at all, because like there's so like good job and like your inspiration to me, because like it's never too late, in my opinion. Never too late.
No, the only time it's too late is when you're dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you know, going back to that faith, it's not just, you know, my center of faith, you know, in you know, my beliefs of, you know, what my religion might be, but it's also having faith in yourself and knowing that if you just keep going, that you'll get to it. You'll get to wherever you want to go. That's the one thing that I've learned is just you don't quit.
Yeah.
Don't quit on yourself, because, you know, no one else is going to pick it up for you. No one is out there to pick it up for you. You have to pick up yourself.
Ooh, I love that. Those were great words right there. So run us through afterwards. So 2015, divorce happened. You know, you're at the point where it's the pivotal moment now, right? What did you do now from that point on? Like, what was the first step? You know, what did you do? Did you just grab yourself a jet, apparently, you know, just, I don't know. For me, I would have just gone like a glass of wine, a little bit relaxed, and then got back into gear kind of deal.
Well, that's just it. You know, I took a moment, you know, of course, having to, like I said, move in with my mother was humbling, but at the same time, rewarding, because it helped with that. And just having something, a home base again, really helped with that. The second thing that I can say that was very pivotal for me is that I just didn't stop. I didn't give up. Orders still had to happen. I was still working a 9-to-5 at the time, by the way. So, you know, that had to be taken care of. So I was going through all that, and then, you know, really also diving into being active at my church really helped me as well, because it gave me something else to do rather than sit there in the dark and just dwell on the things that, you know, that your mind just happens to go through or go to whenever you're, you know, you're there alone in your thoughts.
Yeah.
They're never good thoughts. You never get to a happy place when you're in. So you have to keep busy. And that's really what I did, is I kept busy. And just being able to do that allowed me to also keep that momentum that I had built up. So that's really what helped me get through it. And it allowed me to keep going, allowed me to keep on this entrepreneurial journey and continue to build. I also had, in 2015, I joined several Facebook groups. One of them was very pivotal for me. And it allowed me to have a community to share that with. That's important too. I mean, you have to have community. You have to have people who are like-minded to bounce ideas off of as well, to make sure that you know, okay, yeah, this works, this doesn't work, and here's what I'm thinking, and, you know, allow those, that flow of thought, because if you don't have that, you know, it's just you.
I love it. Nick, like, this is so awesome. Like, I love hearing these stories, because, like I said, like, it's so easy to go see an entrepreneur that has, you know, it's a multimillionaire, you know, doing very well and all these sorts, but you never really get to see the process, right? Like, I feel like in today's world, a lot of people go after entrepreneurship and thinking it's all this glamorous, glorious thing. And it's really grit, grind, show up every day, hustle, work really hard, keeping the faith, keep going, having the right people around you, and then even like building great relationships with yourself and people around you as well too. What's funny, because like we're very similar in the sense that, you know, like I said, like I moved back home when I came back from Thailand as well too. I backpacked across Thailand and I came back to live with my mom and dad, and I really wanted to build a great relationship with them, because it's something that you can agree as well too, where like sometimes you just kind of grow distant, and then when you come back and rekindle that relationship, it's just a really good thing. And then it's just, you kind of, they understand you a little bit more, and they will support you in any way they can as well too. So I like that, and it is definitely humbling. It's good to hear that, you know, like I said, like, again, like all this was what's even more inspiring, because none of this even stopped you, right? Like no matter what, you just kept going. And so I'm curious now, how influential was your wife, your now wife, into this? Like, you know, how important it is to have a partner in this and kind of have a place to kind of lay your head. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, so kind of give a little bit of backstory about me and my wife. My wife and I have known each other since we were 8 years old. We met in the third grade here in San Antonio in elementary school, graduated from the same high school the same year. But we really weren't like friends. We were really more of acquaintances. However, when I finally posted on Facebook, you know, because everybody goes to Facebook, and posted that I was going through a divorce, the first person to reach out was her. And again, we really weren't even, you know, that close friends. We were just Facebook friends. And, you know, sometimes Facebook friends can be really tight, sometimes not so tight. We kind of saw each other passing through the, you know, through the news feed. But she reached out and we started a communication, and it became kind of funny, because it started from an occasional message to almost every day to several times a day to, hey, we should just call each other. And that's where it went. But it was more about our faith. You know, we have different faith backgrounds, as far as we're both Christians, just we have different faith beliefs, but it kind of came from that. And then one day we were just talking, and all of a sudden, you know, it just hit us both. So, and it's interesting how you date 1700 miles away. I'll say that much. So
it makes it stronger, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, because you don't have any pretenses. You don't have to be someone else.
Yeah.
Because there was no chance that anything was ever going to happen. You know, we just talked as openly. Kind of going back to what you were talking about with your family. One thing I do know where my mom and I really bonded, and I think this may be the same for you and maybe for others out there who might be, you know, moving back in with their parents. Having a little bit of life under your belt gives you a different perspective too.
Yeah. I can agree with that.
So
meaning like when you left for a period of time, and then suddenly when you're back home, you take the relationship a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm. Right? Absolutely. Absolutely. So she kind of knew what she was getting into when we married, cause we married in May of 2016, roughly a year after I got divorced. And she kind of knew what she was getting into, but she didn't really know. But she's always wanted to be a part of it since we got married. And she's been trying to figure out her way as well. What's really helped us build even more is the fact that she's been really 100% into it. It's all about, you know, how can we make this bigger and have more impact? Of course, more impact for in our sense of the word means more dollars.
Yeah.
So that's really where we're at on that. We both design stencils. All the stencils that we sell, we've designed. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I want to kind of share this one because I want people to understand that what holds you back is you. It's not the tools or anything like that. I use Inkscape, which is a free software, okay, downloadable. It's open source software that you can find on the internet. Mm-hmm. My wife, to design stencils, used Microsoft Publisher.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I get it.
Okay. So I share that because if you think that you can't because you don't have the tools, you're right.
It's so true. It's crazy because like the amount of times I chat with people, the things that stop them are so, I don't know, what's the word, petty, I would say. Like the things like the stuff that really stops them is like, oh, I can't start this business because I don't have the right software. I'm sure in today's world there's free software for that out there in the world. Or I don't have the knowledge or anything like that. Well, YouTube it. YouTube has enough content now that where you can actually learn everything on YouTube instead of going to college now. Is that crazy, Nick? Like it's nuts.
Well, I totally agree because, you know, there are times when I go on the YouTube rabbit hole and actually awakened something that I've wanted for a long time, and I finally have the opportunity to do that now, just to be a woodworker. So I get the opportunity to do that, but I didn't have that opportunity, you know, because of having a corporate job or anything like that. I have the freedom to be able to do that, which is something that I enjoy. I enjoy being a creator. I think that's really what it's all about. But in order for me to learn how to be that, I learned how to woodwork off of YouTube.
It's just nuts. It's crazy. Yeah. Because, you know, like I have a friend of mine, her name's Lisa, and she's a photographer in LA, a high-end photographer, okay? She shoots a lot of like models for poster, like on like billboards and such like that. And she learned all her content from YouTube. That is amazing, right? Like that, it's crazy. She didn't go to school for it. She didn't have her father was a photographer. So when her father passed away, she inherited all his camera equipment, and she just picked up one day, pulled up YouTube, and started shooting. And that was the only thing that's, you know, you're right when you say like you are the only obstacle in your way. It's crazy how recently I just learned that, right? It's like I spent most of 2017 during my period of like trying to like find myself, of like I was literally just farting around. I was actually trying everything. I was trying to learn how internet market, because like so and so is making whatever amount of money doing internet marketing or whatever it is, right? And I was actually trying to follow other people instead of trying to figure out what I really wanted to do. And this year, 2018, was more about looking at, but okay, what do I need to do today to get me moving forward to get to where I want to be? These are the kind of serious questions that I'm sure you obviously had as well too, right? Where what do you need to do now to pick yourself up, to move yourself forward, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you have to find yourself to know where you're at, okay? But then you can't stay there.
Yeah.
You have to move forward. You have to go, you know, or you wind up being left behind.
Yeah. I love that. So I want to talk a little bit about, you know, your relationship right now with your wife and everything like that. And because like I'm very fascinated right now in a lot of men's work because like it's just something that just out of my own curiosity and everything like that. You know, I read you ever heard of the book called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill?
Oh, yeah. I've already read it. I've read it twice, actually. As a matter of fact, it's so great. Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's wonderful. Like it's a book that I've always had on my shelf, and I just recently dove into it. Maybe a couple months ago, and I dove into three times already and got the audio book, and that's probably like about four times as well to diving into it. Talks a lot about having the right relationship, you know, having as a man, you know, having, you know, your partner in there as well to help you, support you. Because like one highlight in that book was talking about Napoleon Bonaparte, about how when he would with his wife, his empire grew, but afterwards when they weren't together, it shrunk. Do you owe a lot to your wife, current wife now, where like, you know, because like she really helps support you in this whole process and everything?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'll speak about this. I've shared this with my wife, and it's so true. When someone believes in you, the way, you know, your wife will believe in you, that makes you feel bulletproof, and you'll do anything. You can make it work then, because you know someone believes in you. And that's really it, you know. It's not – it's so interesting. Some people say it's a 50-50. No, it's 100-100. You have to give 100% in order to receive 100%. And, you know, I believe in her 100% the way she believes in me 100%. And because of that, because we encourage each other, because we don't let each other get discouraged or down, even during tough times – you know, it can be so easy to do that. But to have that person believing in you and just saying, oh yeah, we can do this. And when you hear that from someone that you know, you love, you really care about, and you respect, then it just makes you, you know, walk a little bit more straight, you know, walk a little bit taller and realize, oh yeah, I can do this.
I love it. I love that. No, and it's so true. And it works vice versa as well too, men and women really, because like if you have someone that you care about really supporting you, like you can feel it unconditionally, mm-hmm. You're right. You feel bulletproof, and it's something that I'm just kind of coming to terms with. And it's so interesting how like, I'm just really fascinated about that. That's all, because like, you know, a lot of men like don't really have that support. And I pity that. I don't pity that, but anything. But like the thing is, like they have to kind of find the support elsewhere, or because like I feel like sometimes like going at it alone, sometimes it's doable, but it's tough. It's really hard because those dark days when you're alone, right? Like you said, like you went out to church, you went out, you believed in your faith, you had the people right, people around you, and everything. These things really attributed to your success, really, and anybody's success, really.
Absolutely. I mean, and again, it's, you know, having that community around you, Paul, if you have that, then, you know, you're not really alone in the journey, because there's someone who's probably behind you from where you were, you know, where you've been. And there's always someone ahead of you where you're going. So you have a path to follow. I mean, that's really, you know, that you don't have to hunt the path. The path's already there. You just got to make sure you walk it.
Yeah. I love that. I want to shift gears a little bit. I really want to talk about Amazon and your startup for it and just getting into it and what it was all like in the experience. And then if you want, if you can just dive into some numbers, because I'm sure there's a lot of people on, you know, that listens to the podcast that was curious as well too, in the, if they ever have a skill or they want to create a product, they want to sell on Amazon, what does that look like and entail? And you're just kind of, I guess, start off like, you know, choosing Amazon is definitely an obvious one because they're a leviathan of a platform, and so what was that in the beginning phase when you dove into Amazon, and then how long did it take you to scale out forward?
Well, okay, well for the to get into Amazon, like I said, it took me 3 months to actually pull the trigger because I had that scarcity mindset going on, but it was not difficult to do it. And after I finally decided, there's a few obstacles, of course, because Amazon was something different. I didn't know that they needed to have UPCs, which, of course, you know, if you brand register, you don't need to have it, but it's a different scenario on that one. And I don't do FBA. I actually sell it for Phil. So everything is made and shipped out of our home. The nice thing is when I married, we also we have a teenager that from my wife's previous relationship, and he's 17, and he does the order fulfillment for us. So we also have an employee. So as far as the numbers go, initially when I first started, it was really about the paper. And kind of a funny story. I saw this paper, it's deli paper, okay? You would never think that deli paper would be something big for crafters, but I saw it, and my ex-wife was talking about it, and she's saying, yeah, this is the next thing. So I looked at how much it would cost to do that, and at the time, this big box store was selling the units for far cheaper than they are now because they had a misprint on it. So I bought some and just listed it. I put some pictures out on Amazon, took it with my phone, and just listed them. And like I said, the first month I made like $250 selling paper. That's awesome. On Amazon. Awesome. On Amazon, you know, to crafters.
Yeah.
And in a year, I had my first four-figure month. In a year, about 14 months later, I had my first five-figure month. And it's just been the hockey stick ever since. The one thing that really helped us was that we started selling the stencils. And we have over 100 to 110 stencils listed now. Okay. And having that kind of volume on there puts you – and longevity.
Yeah.
you know, just because it's not working for you now doesn't mean it won't work for you in a year or 6 months. True. So, kind of funny. I was sharing this with Luke in our mastermind. Is that the month of August? We've tripled over last August.
That's amazing. That's congrats. Huge congrats, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
Know, like that is you know, it's crazy how impatient millennials are. I'm a millennial. That's why I say that.
No, it's okay. I get it. And that's what I was going to kind of touch on. It's that instantaneous gratification that we crave, we seek. And what we don't understand is if you have the patience and you is short in the casino industry, I used to refer to this short buck versus long buck.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're out for the short buck, you're going to make it, but then you have nothing for long term. But if you have the long game, if you have the long buck in mind, then you'll get the same amount of money over the long term. But along the way, those people who have really enjoyed what you're doing are going to be your evangelizers and going to tell others. Yeah. And then they'll tell others. And then they'll tell others. And next thing you know, what you could have made in the short term, you've tripled, quadrupled, maybe even tenfold what you could make in the long game. Yeah. And that's the way I look at it. It's a long term. It's a marathon. It's never a sprint.
I love that. I love how you like portrayed that, because like so that started roughly in 2016, right? 16 mm-hmm. is when you dove into Amazon, and then you saw you made your first, you know, you're basically made money online. And it just basically scaled. You were very patient with it. And then I'm blown away, because like I said, like recently I just launched up my FBA, you know, business and everything for one product, just one product. I wanted to have it on there. And the reason why I brought up millennials, because like instant gratification, like I know logically in my mind that, you know, it is 100%. And this, anybody will tell you this, anybody successful, anyone I look up to, and you're saying this as well too, that, you know, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. But for whatever reason, you know, I made like sales. It's roughly about, it's only been, when did I launch? I launched like 2 weeks ago. All right. And I made about 6 sales. And I'm like, yeah, 6 sales. Great, great, great. And okay. And I'm just sitting there waiting. And like, I'm just like, what is this? And why is this not working? Kind of deal. But like, I always have to consciously remind myself, it's definitely a marathon. I'm in it for the long run. Because like I said, like you say, like you have like multiple products listed on Amazon, right? And, and it's a longevity thing. And I'm sure like the process really does take time for you to like go one from one product to another, to another, to another, right? So it's like, it's, I'm curious to know what that process would look like for you, Nick, because like, again, like FBA, and it's totally different from like your business model, because like you do from your home and everything like that. And I'm sure, are you still doing it from your home actually?
Yeah, absolutely. That's still doing it from our house. That's amazing. Yeah. We've, you know, of course scaled up with the machines that we use for production, because we actually make the stencils here as well as design them. So everything's in house still. I mean, awesome. Yeah, we actually have a room dedicated to just having that, just that. So, yeah, for us, it's really, you know, we think about, I sit here sometimes and I'll play around with the design software, and all of a sudden something will click and I'll create something. And I'll look at it. I'll cut it out on the machine. Take a look and see what that it does. You know, is this something that would have long term? Is this a great investment for our customers? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't really use the products as much as like my wife does. My wife loves crafting. I'm more of a digital crafter and a woodworker. So that's the way I look at it. So I think about it and I look at it.
Perfect, actually, because you guys complement each other.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because she will use the products, okay? So she gets the opportunity to say, yeah, this works great. No, we need to tweak this a little bit. I love this pattern. Let's do this. So we'll list it, and we go from there. That's really how our creative process works. And you know, don't be afraid to throw it out there. There are some things that we've put out there that have never sold. Okay. But if I focused on the things that never sold, I would never do it.
Yeah.
So it's also about that having, you know, what is working? Well, okay, if that's working, we're going to do more of that.
I love it. I love that, you know, because like I remember I started a drop shipping business.
Mm-hmm.
When did I start that? Probably a year ago. And I didn't sell anything. And I got so flustered, I just kind of killed it off. Just because it wasn't doing very well. And I was like, oh my gosh. And now but it's funny because I'm hearing this from you saying even though one thing doesn't work, you know, you should still keep going. You should still keep trying. You should still. And that's where I feel like a lot of people kind of don't get where if you fall once, most people usually just kind of give up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But the key is actually in keep going, just keep trying the next thing or keep pivoting, keep going at it. Right. And so it's interesting.
Oh, absolutely.
To hear you say that. Yeah.
Well, something that also runs through my mind, Paul, is that, you know, if we gave up once after we tried to learn how to walk, we'd be on our ass for the rest of our lives.
Yeah. it's so true. And we're all deep down, honestly, the day we were born, we're all entrepreneurs in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We just kept walking, right? We kept walking even though we fell and we just still got up and stuff, right? So we kind of worked it out and so people kind of forget that. And so, yeah, that's awesome. I love that.
So that's the way I look at it is if you didn't give up when you were two learning how to walk, why are you giving up now?
Yeah. So true. I love that. You know, Nick, I'm curious now to know where are you using any advertisements or anything like that on your Amazon business or anything like that? Or how are you kind of, you know, are you doing any marketing for your just getting your products out there, or what is it just all strictly just everybody's checks up on your ads on Amazon, or what is that like?
Well, for the Amazon, yes, we do. I do obviously advertise on Amazon, and I started doing that after I really started making money. Once I knew that people would like the product, I would actually start advertising it. But if before then, no, I'm not going to throw the dollars at it if it's just a waste of money. Mm-hmm. And that's really where we get a decent flow is through the marketing that happens on Amazon. You know, that sponsored product or those who like this, you know, we'll have also bought this type of scenario, and it works for us. We don't do any, of course, I do have an email list, and I actually kind of do this through our sales. So, you know, if people want more of that, then, you know, they can sign up for the email list. It's all about giving content then, you know, you sign up, they're warm already.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they sign up, and I'm still giving away free stuff. How to use the product that you just bought.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay.
And that helps them keeps them in an email, but also I market to that email list. Hey, we just released this product. Take a look at it and see what you think.
And that's what you should do. Actually, a lot of Amazon sellers do that, because in case of one day Amazon were to disappear, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then at least you got the email list under your belt, and that way you can just move on to whatever next platform it is and go from there. Because like I said, eBay was once the Amazon, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Amazon, and now it's like I don't know what it is anymore. It's just like it's just kind of there now, right? So like it's in the
right
back burner, and it's never the first thing now.
Right. Well, this is what I've always said, and I said this back in 2014, and I say this today. People shop on eBay. People buy on Amazon.
Yeah, true. That's so true, and it's crazy, and it's weird too, as well, too, Nick. Like, even though you and I are on the Amazon online space and everything, there's still a lot of countries and a lot of people around the world that aren't able to buy online. I heard Japan is finally just getting their own Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Like they're finally making it easier to sell on Amazon now. France was the exact same thing. So it's awesome to see that kind of growth, and it's still growing, right? And I'm excited to see where it goes from here on out, because it's just the tip of the iceberg, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the online space we're still in the golden age. We're still in the golden age of it. It still hasn't gotten to the point where it's jaded.
I don't think it ever will be, honestly, because there's always like there's so much change to for it, right? Like there's so much things that makes it so much easier as well, too. There's just going to be a rebrand or pivot or anything like that. It's just going to be continuing like that, right? I'm curious, what have you been working on that you're passionate about, or what's next for you now, right? Because like you've basically hit an awesome month. Huge congrats to that. And so what's next?
Well, the next is the next level. You know, we have we actually have a calendar where we do these things called Gold Star Days and then Duck Duck Days, which are they're different levels. Okay, Gold Star Days, if we achieve a certain number on a given day or on a certain in a day, then we put the gold star up on our calendar and then we actually put that on the date. My wife and I were actually talking about this last night. We have for the month of August 16 gold star days and one duck duck day. I won't go into how duck duck days happen, but or even how the name happened. That's kind of a running joke in between me and my wife. But our goal is to have a month of gold star days or higher.
And so these gold stars are your daily targets, right?
For sales.
Okay.
And across all platforms, not just on Amazon. Okay. So we sell off of our website too. So we have website sales. I have some websites out there that still do affiliate products that I kind of tampered, kind of got with back in 2015, just messing around.
Yeah.
So they still do. Some days we have good income. Some days, they're there. That's that passive stuff that I love Pat Flynn talking about. But for us, it's having those gold star days. And then once we have those and we have those consistently, I want to have those be on a monthly or have a month of gold star days. Have that calendar fill up an entire month. And then have it do it again. Once we do that, we'll move our target number up.
I love that.
So it's just always continuing to be better.
I love that. You know, it's you're going to get it 100%. I know that. If you're just only one duck duck day in the month, then oh my gosh, like you're going to get it this year for sure. I know that. That's awesome.
What's interesting, Paul, is we've already beat prior year.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so our entire year sales from 2017, we already beat it.
Congrats. Like this is the magic that I'm talking about, right? Look, but the thing is, like, it wasn't built overnight. That's what I really wanted to highlight. I was going to mention this after this as well too, where like basically this took you roughly a good solid 3 years from 2015, counted from 2015, right? And I'm just like, I'm here stressing over 2 weeks. It's crazy. Like it's amazing because like you need to remember that. That's why like this is the highlight of the episode. I swear this is going to be a title where it's like, you know, patience is literally a virtue kind of deal or something. I don't know what it is, what the title would be for this episode, but I really feel like it is. Like it's you really have to stick it out, keep going, have the faith and really have the support system and keep going at it because like this all built towards, you know, that golden month, that golden year for you, right? Like it's just crazy to see that. And it took you 3 years, right? Like it took you 3 years to do all this and really just going at it. And there's so many, you know, I pick at millennials a lot because I'm very familiar with them. They want to see the instant gratification right away. I want to make six figures in a year. I want to make, you know, $1 million by, you know, 1.5 years or whatever. just go at it.
Right. But you got it. It doesn't happen if you're sitting in the coffee shop talking about it.
Yeah.
You got to do it. You got to get out there and put the work in. And there are days when I just don't want to. You know, I get it. I understand. There's days when I'm just like, okay, I really just want to not do a damn thing today. But I get up, I do what I have to do because that will help me build towards tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm curious then, Nick, how do you stay productive? How do you stay on task? Like, you know, I'm sure the wife is helpful in that as well too, right?
Well, Yeah, she also encourages me to take downtime too, because she also knows that that will help. You know, sometimes you have to take the downtime. I get that. However, it's for me to stay productive. Sometimes I just chill. I'll go down rabbit holes on YouTube. I mean, I'll be quite honest. I mean, if you don't take time for yourself, then, you know, or make time for yourself, then you don't have that ability to be productive. One thing I learned about productivity and how to be more productive is the Pomodoro techniques, where you can do certain things, focus just extremely hard on something for 25 minutes and then take a 5-minute break away from it, then come back to it for another 25 minutes, just pure focus. Have a timer. Okay, and have that clock in front of you, because that clock in front of you make you work harder.
Yeah,
and it make you be more focused. So that's really what it's about. It's just finding those ways to be intensely focused for short bursts of time.
Yeah,
to help you with that marathon. So, you know, when I get into those frame of minds where I'm like, today I just want to, I don't know, I just want to sit here and watch. I want to watch watch Mojo videos all day. No, can't do that because, you know, I'm there. I get it. I understand, you know, the big effort is just showing up in the first place and getting out there and doing it. But yeah, I like to stay focused on, and when I need distractions, when I need that distraction, I go out to the garage where I've set up a little shop and I'll cut some wood or I'll design something and then look at it, and you know that'll help me keep fresh. So it's just a matter of just staying productive. It's really keeping your mind in the game.
I love that. You know, it's wonderful because, like I said, like it's good to know that recently I'm learning all these things, and it's good to hear that, like, looking from the other side, from your end over there, you know, Nick, it's wonderful that I'm actually on the right path, because I actually downloaded an app. Okay, listen to this. It's gone this bad. Okay, so I downloaded an app called Forest, and it's a wonderful app where it actually kind of locks out your phone and sets timers for you to be productive, but you're actually growing a tree. That's why it's called Forest. And if you leave it for like set amount of time, you set it for like 25 minutes or 30 minutes, and then your tree is literally growing. But if you kind of mess around with your phone and dive into it, the tree dies. And then deep down, you don't want to have this tree to die. And it's funny because it works. I don't know how or what it is, but I set it in increments of 30 minutes. I grow this tree, okay? And I'm just doing my work. I'm like, I'm not gonna play with my phone. No social media, no nothing. And then I go back into the phone and I want to grow another tree. I'm like, this is weird. And it just works so well. Similar to like what you're doing, like increments of 25 minutes and a 5-minute break. It's crazy.
Well, but it works. It does. It really works. And, you know, just shutting off all the noise in that regard will allow you to just focus with laser focus on the one task that you have in mind. For me, I don't put any more than 3 tasks a day on my to-do list, because 2 things. Success breeds success. Mm-hmm. 2, overwhelm will make you do nothing. So always have just a short task list. You can have this long task list in somewhere else, but look at it and go, okay, these are the 3 things I'm going to do today. And that's how I do things, and allows you to have that success. Okay, yesterday I was able to accomplish those 3 things. What 3 things can I get done today?
Yeah. I love it. You know, looking in hindsight now, Nick, would you do anything differently?
No, because I feel that if you don't, I've said this before, I'm not who I am if I'd have changed anything in my past. So going through what I've gone through, where I've been, what I've had to do, I wouldn't change anything, because it makes me who I am now, and I like who I am now.
I love it. That's a wonderful, you know, response to that, because I love that. And like I said, like I, you're so inspirational because it really inspires me, because like I said, like number one, like you didn't let your age, you didn't use that as an excuse or anything like that. Like majority of people that I talk to, they always bring up their age as if like that was like going to be that like it's relevant. It's not really. And also you just kept going at it. And then it's great. I really learned a lot from this conversation because like, it's just so cool to hear. To hear, like, you know, even like, you know, you still keep going at it no matter what, and it's wonderful. And is there an ultimate goal for you where like you would be like, okay, this is where I want to be?
The target always moves, but a couple weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago, like I said, we live in San Antonio. We went to the Hill Country of Texas, on the day trip and on a Friday. Me and my wife went out there, and there's this little town that I used to go to when I was a kid called Llano, Texas. It's a small, nowhere special kind of place. But we went out there because, one, we, you know, wanted to get out of San Antonio, and two, we need something different. We need a change of scenery. And so we went out there, and, then we came home really inspired because it's like, wow, they have all this land available out there for sale. So for me, it's that next target. Where's the next target? The next target is being able to have, you know, buy the land that I'd love to have. But more than that, right now, it's just about making impact, you know, making a difference in someone's life. That continues to be something that I don't think I'll ever stop doing.
What is impact for you? What does that look like?
Impact for me could be that person who buys the stencil and shares that picture with me. It can be the person who may listen to this podcast and realize that their age isn't an obstacle for them.
Yeah.
In fact, in some ways, it may be the best blessing for them because they've got more life experience.
I agree.
So it just may be that the impact is, you know, it may be, you know, like you're saying, I'm inspiring you. I'm embracing the impact that I may be having with you, Paul, and maybe with the people who are out there listening to this. Impact for me just means that I've inspired someone to do something different with their lives or to continue on with the creativity they may have.
I love that. You know, I firmly believe this. And let me know if you agree or disagree. I firmly believe that everybody deserves to live a fulfilled life. Whether if it's like you're in your dream job or whatever it is, they need to wake up and feel ignited to go do whatever they love.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough people go after that.
No, they settle.
Yeah.
They settle. They stop, you know, okay, well, this is good enough. Well, yeah, if that's where you feel that you're fulfilled, then, you know, that's fine. But so many people live unfulfilled lives because they settled and then they're down on themselves for it. And rather than going out there and chasing something, you know, the one quote that always runs through my head, if you're going to fail at something, you might as well fail at doing something you love.
Exactly. Yes. Thank you so much for like pointing that out. It's so true. I love that. You know, so Nick, I really want to be respectful of your time. It's like an hour. I love this conversation so far, but I really wanted to wrap things up and possibly bring you on again afterwards and hear about your golden month and hitting it and everything like that. And I want to hear all about that.
Likewise. I'd love that.
It'd be awesome. But I'm going to ask you just a few more questions and we're just going to wrap things up. Before we get into that though, I want to say, you know, thank you so much for just sharing and just being so kind and just sharing your knowledge and wisdom and everything like that. Because like I said, like there's so many people out in the world that I feel like, you know, they always bring up their age or whatever it is, some excuse. And there are people like yourself out there that are just doing it, right? Regardless of whatever excuses that you can use, but you choose not to, right? It's wonderful. I just love that. And I'm so glad that there are people like you that just really care a lot about that. So thank you. That's what I was going to say.
No. It's my pleasure because, you know, the purpose of our life is not to just accumulate things, but to share it.
Yes.
And if I can share the knowledge that I've and experiences that I've gained, you know, in this life, and hopefully inspire someone to realize that, that you know, where you're at now is not where you're meant to be.
Yeah.
And you have the power, you have the choice to be able to make that happen. Yeah. It's a matter of there aren't enough excuses in the world for me to stop doing what I do.
Yeah. I love it. And for, you know, for those path hunters who want to reach you out or follow you online or anything like that, where do you usually hang out online? I'd be a terrible podcaster if I don't, you know, put in a plug and everything for you and everything.
Oh, like no, I appreciate that. Yeah. Well, we do have a website. It's endlessinspirations.net. My wife and I are talking about this the other day. Our website's looking a little dated, so we may be doing a fresher on that one sometime in the near future. So that is primarily where we're at. You can also find me on Facebook. We do have a group that if